Hi, my name is Robert Douglas, and you might know me from the goofy and entertaining opening sessions to DrupalCons that I give with Jeffrey McQuire, a.k.a. Jam. This is episode 31 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host.
He tricked his wife into going on their first date.
Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Robert Douglas. Robert is Director of Product Operations at Commerce Guys, a position which he assumed recently after 4 years of working with Acquia, and was a Lullabot before that. Robert was the author of the first Drupal book and editor of the Pro Drupal Development Series. As a developer, he's known for the Apache Solr search module and the Memcache module, and he joins us from Cologne, Germany. So how are you doing, Robert?
Thanks, Brian. Doing well.
Good. Do you want to start out by giving us a little background about you and where you're from?
Sure. So I'm originally from Michigan, thus no German accent here, but I moved to Germany about 15 years ago to be with my lovely wife, who is German. And for most of that time, I've been doing Drupal. I got started in Drupal shortly after becoming a computer programmer due to the frustration of building web applications in Java. And I just loved the simplicity with which Drupal let me get a site up and running and the possibilities that it gave me for customizing. And I've never looked back. I've been Drupaling ever since.
Great. So what's the most recent project you've been working on?
The most recent project that I've been working on is the one we're going to talk about today, and that is Commerce Kickstart, which is the distribution that Commerce Guys, the company I work for, are building on top of the Drupal Commerce platform.
Okay. Before we jump into Kickstart, can you... Well, Kickstart's built off of Drupal Commerce, so you know most people have probably heard of that, but just in case, can you give just a very brief overview of what Drupal Commerce is?
Yeah, gladly. So Drupal Commerce is third-generation e-commerce technology for Drupal. So let's back up a little bit. Drupal is this great web application framework that lets you manage content, and it's also very strong in community tools, so social tools, allowing you to maintain friendships and interact with other people on the web. And the third C in the magic recipe for the greatest website ever is content, community, and commerce. So for years, people have been building commerce sites on Drupal. The first generation technology was the e-commerce suite of modules that was first built by Matt Westgate and later maintained by Gordon Hayden. Then along came Ubercart for Drupal 5 and 6. That was developed by Ryan Zrama, and that turned out to be massively popular. It was easy to set up, easy to get going, and you could start selling things on your Drupal site right away. But the main developer and one of the main companies that were doing Ubercart work, so Ryan Zrama and the Commerce Guys, decided that the framework aspect of Ubercart was limiting and dated and fragile and not future safe. So they took a step back, took everything they learned from the Ubercart experience, and started over with the Drupal Commerce framework. And that got released about a year ago. In the meantime, about 16,000 commerce websites have been launched on it. It's specific to Drupal 7. And the reason that it's a great framework for building commerce sites on is that it adheres to all of the best practices that we know of from Drupal 7, such as its use of entities and fields and its reliance on great modules such as views and rules. And another great aspect that I want to mention is that unlike Ubercart, it divides everything into an API module and user interface module. So You always have the API to work with from the programmatic level and from integrating with other modules. And then you have the user interface modules that you can turn on or off if you need them or if you don't, or even replace them altogether if you have a different user interface that you want to use to set up your commerce site. So that's the brief history of Drupal Commerce.
Okay. So then how does Commerce Kickstart build on that?
Well, glad you asked, because Drupal is a framework in a way, and one of the things that people notice when they approach any framework is that it often takes a lot of time to set it up. And what we've seen in the Drupal world in recent years is a really powerful trend led in no part by Drupal.org itself and its ability to package distributions towards making Drupal packages, these Drupal distributions that actually do something really powerful out of the box. So, for example, Phase 2 Technology has their open public and open publish distributions, and Acquia has Drupal Commons, and Node1 has NodeStream, and Chapter 3 has Open Academy. These are all distributions that do something really fantastic out of the box. And what Drupal Commerce is this distribution for Drupal Commerce that does something fantastic out of the box. And that fantastic thing is that it gives you an online shop ready to sell shippable physical goods. We have demo content on there like mugs and t-shirts and caps and tote bags that you can see how we've put it together, see the best practices, and it's basically got all the components baked in to have an online shop.
Okay, cool. So before we kind of get into the use cases and things like that, I wanted to throw out there that this, as of right now, is in an alpha 3. Do you know when you expect a stable release of Kickstart 2.0?
Yeah, we have some goals around that. So Kickstart's been around for a while. We've always felt that Drupal Commerce is a framework and it needs a distribution on top of that to show people the way, show people how to get started. And the 1.x branch has been around for quite some time. We started talking about the 2.x branch back in June. So this is a really new development. If you've tried Kickstart before June, then you've not seen it. So go try it again. And try the 2.x branch. We're at Alpha 3. We're going to release either an Alpha 4 or a Beta 1 this week. And, of course, we want to have something for you to have in your hands by DrupalCon in Munich because, you know, that's the big event coming up. Right. So look for us to be feature complete and mostly bug-free by Munich. We'll probably, you know, then we'll definitely keep releasing new point releases after that to shore up any small niggling issues that might be left behind.
Okay. And what are some of the current release blockers?
So we've got things in there like, so it's amazing some of the things that are blocking us right now. So we built this distribution that has demo content, and then we realized that people would also want to install it without demo content. So one of the release blockers is having a good installation process where you just get the Commerce Kickstart framework in store without any of that demo content. So that's a release blocker. Some of the other release blockers, let's see if I scan the issue queue where everybody's welcome to come and help out, then we're, you know, tweaking some of the visual aspects of the site. We're creating a new Omega Commerce sub-theme that has the generic look and feel of this commerce store that we've created, encapsulized in a sub-theme. The Omega maintainer, Jake Strawn, is working on that with us. So that's got to be ready. We're looking at the mobile aspect of this very carefully because mobile and commerce go hand in hand, and that's a really increasing segment of customers for any online shop. So we're doing a lot of bug fixing still around the mobile presentation. The Commerce Kickstart has a responsive theme out of the box, and of course, you know, that gives you different viewports for, you know, a laptop or a big monitor or an iPad or a an Android phone, and we're testing all of that. And, you know, that's just different permutations of the theme that has to be tested and tweaked and made pretty. So we're doing stuff like that. And I'd say a lot of the other bugs that we're looking at have to do with streamlining the installation process, making sure that people have a really good first impression of the product when they download it and install it.
Okay. I was just actually looking at it. I just installed this morning to take a look at the 2.0 release, and it's pretty awesome. Like, just straight out of the box, it looks great. So I had a question about like some of the customizations you guys have made, like the theme. Are those going to be available to pre-existing sites that are already using Commerce?
Absolutely, they are. So like I just mentioned, Jake Strawn is working on the Omega Commerce sub-theme for Omega. And you'd be able to take Omega and this Omega Commerce sub-theme and get the look and feel of Commerce Kickstart on any existing Drupal Commerce website. So there's always X amount of work that you have to do to clean it up and make it look exactly like you want, but it'll be a very good starting point with all that responsiveness built in.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Well, I wanted to kind of mention some of the improvements that have been going on. I noticed, like, for example, when you add a product, it's a lot different now than in Commerce 1.0. I don't know how to say this. Like, when I went to create a product, I noticed the variations form is right on the create form, I guess. And then you can add multiple variations right there on that same page without having to create entirely separate nodes and then do a product display to say that they're all the same thing. Does that make sense?
Thank you for noticing that. This is something that we poured our hearts and souls into. So let's back up and explain that a bit for the audience.
Okay.
In Drupal Commerce, you have the concept of a product that has the SKU, the SKU, and the product details at a canonical level. And then you have attached to that or complementing that various product displays and product variations. So imagine, for example, that you have a t-shirt, let's just say men's t-shirt, and you want to be able to show that with different variations, small, medium, large, red, blue, black, and you want to be able to display that on the site in different ways. So that's a lot of different combinations of how this t-shirt can exist, right? So prior to Commerce Kickstart, you kind of had to go to one place and create the product and then go to another place and create the product forms and variations and product displays. And what we've done in Commerce Kickstart is we've put that all in one listing. And the magic that makes that all happen is called the inline entity form module. So this basically allows us to make a listing of your products, and you click on edit, and through Ajax, you get the form, the inline entity form for the product variations, right under that main canonical listing for the product itself. And it's very convenient. When you're done editing, you click save, the form rolls up, and you go on and edit the next product, edit the variations, etc. And I think that's what you just mentioned that impressed you.
Yeah, I just thought that was awesome. It was super slick and easy to do. So
I also see a lot of use cases for that inline entity form for other Drupal scenarios where you have relations between different entity types and you need to approach the sub-entity types from the parent entity and edit them. So even if you're interested in building a commerce site right now, you might want to check out how we've done that, because it's, in my opinion, a breakthrough in usability for Drupal in general.
Okay. And then something else I noticed you guys have improved is the coupons or discounts. Is that something that's rolled into commerce now, or is that some additional modules that you guys created for Kickstart?
That's a really nice feature. And again, I'm glad you noticed that. So I mentioned earlier that Commerce uses the rules module quite extensively. Rules is absolutely fantastic, and we use it everywhere. Pricing rules, shipping rules, product display rules, and also for things like doing discounts or coupons. So what we've done with the discounts module is we've put a wrapper, an interface on top of rules so that people don't have to think about rules necessarily when making a discount, and they can really easily say, hey, I want an employee discount. And what that means is that I want to give 5% off to anybody who's purchasing a project who is an employee. So it gives you the ability to kind of think through it like a human instead of having to think through it like the rules module in Drupal. Now, the power of that is that all it's doing is making those rules for you in the background. So it's saying when buying a product, if user is an employee, so they have a specific user role that identifies them as an employee, then apply 5% discount to the price. So it's making the rules like that in the background, and you can go in and edit them. So once again, the pattern of having an API module like rules and then an interface module on top of it, like the discount module, is something that you'll see very deeply and baked through the Commerce Kickstart and the Drupal Commerce platform.
Okay. Is that discount module something that's available to existing sites as well, or is that something that's only available in Kickstart?
Good question. I'd have to look that up, but I'm sure that you can, I think you can download it directly.
Okay. And it's just a UI module, right? So it's not adding functionality itself?
That's correct. It's a UI. Okay. Tool. And we're actually going to revamp that, make it even better before the release. So I'll take this moment to do a great call out to Boyan Summers, our usability testing expert, who's been working with us to make Kickstart really a greatly usable product. And one of the things that we identified in user testing, and thanks to all the people who might be listening who participated in those tests, was that some of the interface decisions we made on the discounts module were a little bit confusing, so we're improving those. But again, a call out to Boyan Summers, great work on helping us identify the sticking points for people who are new to the distribution and want to get up and running with it as easily as possible.
Okay. All right. So I've got some questions now about Kickstart 2.0. And first is, should this only be used for testing and experimenting, or is this something that you would consider production ready?
So a lot of it is production ready. So the underlying commerce engine, Drupal Commerce itself, is production ready, and it runs huge, great sites like Royal Mail. So anybody in the United Kingdom who goes to their post office website and buys any product like a book of stamps or a fishing license are using Drupal Commerce in the background. So it's ready for prime time. And we assume that Kickstart is your starting point for a store, that you're going to customize it, that you're going to add modules, that you might write some code, that you're going to touch the theme. We don't see it necessarily as an out-of-the-box software product where you wait for every release to get the updates and everything. We see every release basically as a great starting point, including these alphas. So I'd encourage you to go and try it. You'll end up throwing out some stuff that you don't want, turning off some functionality that you don't need, replacing the product catalog, changing the theme, and then you're on a really stable Drupal Commerce product, so in the background, that you've customized. And at that point, then further upgrades for Kickstart, they might give you nice module upgrades, so you can upgrade all the modules involved at once. But the packaging of it, the distribution aspect of it that puts it all together and glues it together in a nice way, that's something that primarily happens in the install, and you only install it once. So I don't hesitate to recommend people using it and trying it out. as long as they know that it's a starting point for their own customizations, and it's currently the best way to gain access to the underlying enterprise-worthy commerce platform, Drupal Commerce.
Okay, cool. So is it then running on the latest version of Commerce, right now 1.3?
Good question. You know, I don't have... I assume that it's running on the absolute latest, greatest Drupal Commerce that is stable and well-known.
Okay.
You know, keeping all of the modules in the suite as up-to-date as possible, and we have the goal to not launch Drupal Commerce Kickstart, rather, with any unreleased modules. So, you know, no dev versions, no alpha versions. That's the goal.
Okay. So, yeah, you mean once Commerce Kickstart reaches a 2.0 release, nothing will be dev versions?
That's the goal.
Okay.
We're also practical-minded about it. I mean, if something runs perfectly and the developer just won't cut a release, then that's not going to hold us back.
Yeah. Okay. So I was actually just poking through here one more time, and I noticed the introduction and getting started guides that are in Commerce Kickstart. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about why those are there? And
absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's a Kickstart, right? It's supposed to get you up and running. It's supposed to guide you into the world of Drupal Commerce. So we've when you install it, in addition to capturing some extra information during the install process to help you set things up, it also then directs you to a section of the site that we've built in called the Getting Started Guide. And there you've got a library of videos, some very introductory tasks like adding products, adding shipping methods, adding payment methods, kind of like a guide to everything that you need to do at that point to get your store up and running, because commerce is a really complicated field of, it's a complicated subject, doing e-commerce online. That's why people need really good tools, because there's so much to know about and so many things to do in any situation that the best we can do is give you all the information you need, give you some pointers to the steps you'll need to take, links to the configuration screens you'll want to visit, plus references to videos and online tutorials in case you get stuck.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it's got a lot of information here.
More to come.
That would be very helpful. Oh, yeah.
That's one of the areas where we'll be able to keep improving, even after you know, a release of the whole package.
How does that work?
Well, you know, we can do more releases, and in some cases, I think that we'll be able to reach out and get helpful information from RSS feeds and things like that.
Oh, okay. My next question is about digital goods, because Commerce Kickstart right now gets you up and running to sell physical shippable goods, but there's a lot of people who want to sell digital goods or like membership sites. Do you know if that is going to be a possibility in a distribution in the future?
Well, it's a possibility with this distribution now, even though we've set up the examples to be for shippable goods. The platform is there with the help of some extra modules from the, you know, the larger commerce world to, you know, do digital goods. So the selling of a digital good is basically the sale of a role or a permission on your website to access a file that you're storing, usually a file that would be in the private file system of Drupal rather than the public file system of Drupal. So that's a fairly well-known use case, and there's a lot of documentation about that online. Subscriptions, same thing. There are tutorials. We'll find some links that you can put on the website for people who are visiting that way to go and get a recipe for doing those. These are really well-known use cases. There are modules that exist in Drupal Commerce for addressing these needs, and you can definitely build that in to your Commerce Kickstart.
Okay, cool. I had another question. This is more about Drupal Commerce in general, but I had a friend of mine who's been checking it out recently. He's coming from Ubercart on Drupal 6, and he's been frustrated with Drupal Commerce, and I'll just kind of put this the way he put it. He basically said that Drupal Commerce seems like a NASCAR of a project and not an everyday driver, he feels like you've got to know how to tune it properly before you can even drive it. Can you comment on that?
It's fair criticism. And remember that Drupal Commerce is about a year old as a platform, and that Ryan Zarama and the team developing it focused very much at first on nailing the API, then nailing basic user interface patterns. And now as those are settling in and becoming very stable products, then we're working more and more on the actual experience of setting up a store. So, for example, you still have to go get some shipping modules and set up your payment gateways. You still have to, think about your tax rules. You still have to think about your pricing rules. And that does imply a certain amount of knowledge of the underlying systems. So, in particular, building views and building rules are two great skills that will help that. Now, as time goes on, expect that to become easier. What's really important to us as the software vendor of Drupal Commerce, so I'm speaking about Commerce Guys, is that the system retains the flexibility to meet all of the needs that people might have. So my first experience doing Drupal Commerce, or doing commerce with Drupal, was an UberCart site. It was a Drupal 6 site, and it was an absolute nightmare making European tax rules work, or getting the system translated into different languages, or making a product that was adequately customizable so that I could actually meet the customer's needs. I spent a lot of time with that project undoing UberCart. Add on top of that the fact that UberCart is still exceedingly JavaScript heavy, and therefore somewhat limiting in terms of like what you can do with the mobile experience, or sometimes if people have reported browser incompatibilities, then those are the types of problems that we aimed to sidestep in building Drupal Commerce, and been very successful, in fact. So your friend's criticism is fair. It's a problem that is getting better. But if you really want a future-proof system, then I can highly recommend Drupal Commerce. I like to think about it a little bit in terms of Drupal itself. I mean, your friend didn't pick Drupal because it was the easiest system to set up and do something with, right? Uh-huh. A fairly long learning curve for anybody who wants to do Drupal website development. But your friend stuck with Drupal because it opens up a world of capabilities that he wouldn't otherwise have with another system that makes more assumptions up front and holds your hand more in the initial phases. I think that's a fair analogy to make for Drupal Commerce as well. And like Drupal itself, Drupal Commerce should become easier and easier to use over time while hopefully expanding the flexibility, but at least retaining the flexibility that it has.
All right, that sounds good. Makes sense, and yeah, I'll make sure to tell them that. I'll just say, hey, listen to this. Okay, well, that's everything that I had on the notes. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention or throw out before we wrap up?
Well, we love collaborating with people who are interested in helping out. So if you're interested in Commerce Kickstart and you find something wrong, everything we're doing is public in the issue queue. There's all of the developments going on can be tracked really clearly right on Drupal.org. So jump in, we'll answer documentation requests, support requests, feature requests, all within the space of the Drupal issue queue for Commerce Kickstart.
Excellent. Okay, well then let's go ahead and wrap up. I always ask a couple of questions at the end of the show just to get the responses. And the first is there something that you're excited about that's up and coming? Something that you're not working on but you think looks really cool or useful?
Well, I have to say DrupalCon, right? Because, I mean, that's DrupalCon Munich in August is coming right up, and I'm kind of working on it because I'm presenting a couple of things, but it's this huge event, and it's one of the, you know, the fiber and tissue of the Drupal community binding us together, where we all get together and exchange ideas and work on things together, and it's a massive event, and I'm really looking forward to DrupalCon. If you're going to go, make sure and catch the opening session, the one that happens before Dries' keynote. We call ourselves Dries' opening band, and we usually do something wild and crazy. This time it'll probably have something to do with Germany and Bavaria, and who knows? Maybe beer, just saying. So DrupalCon is absolutely the thing that I'm looking forward to.
Excellent. And where can people go to find out more about you and the things you're working on, or maybe Kickstart in general?
Okay, well, let's start with Kickstart. So there's a great website for Drupal Commerce in general. It's drupalcommerce.org. That's kind of the project home away from drupal.org for everything to do with Drupal Commerce. Then the module page for Commerce Kickstart is drupal.org/project/commerce_kickstart. You can find that on the website. My homepage, where you can track the very infrequent updates of Robert Douglas, is robshouse.net.
Cool. Yeah, I'll include links to all that in the show notes, which will be at modulsunraveled.com/podcast/031. Okay, I guess that's it. So we will just wrap this up, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Brian.
If you liked this episode, check out modulsunraveled.com/podcast to get more information about it. And while you're there, you can listen to other episodes or subscribe to the podcast in iTunes or your favorite podcast software. Also, check out the Drupal videos on the site. There are a number of series available, each teaching various subjects in Drupal 7, like setting up a newsletter, configuring organic groups, or how to make the images on your site responsive to complement your responsive design. Thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch and keep those suggestions coming about who you want to hear from on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Modules Unraveled podcast, and I'll talk to you next week.